We are so thrilled to explore a new anthology of poetry featuring 52 Wisconsin poets, and we're appreciating their contributions on this Wisconsin weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Poet laureates from around the state collaborated on this effort. It's called Through This Door, Wisconsin in Poems. You can join in to share the poetry you're working on, the poetry you're reading in these times. We'd love to hear about it. It's 800-642-1234. Angie Tridell Vasquez is Madison Poet Laureate and the first Latina to hold this position. She's written three collections of poetry and co-edited this anthology. Angie, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me. It's my first time. I'm so excited.
Oh, good. We also have a fellow anthology co-editor who launched the project, Wisconsin Poet Laureate Margaret Rosga is here, and she's written five books of poetry. Peggy, welcome back to you as well.
Thank you, Kate. And if I may, I'd like to say good morning, especially to all those medical people who are trying to keep us healthy when the pandemic rate is a scary 7,000 in the state.
Oh, my goodness, yes. And maybe they have a poem in their pocket this morning. I'm wondering if you could start, Peggy, and tell us the backstory of how this anthology came to be.
Sure, I'd love to do that. When I started as Poet Laureate in early 2019, I had already committed to do a couple of high school workshops, and So I read a poem from my collection of poems about Milwaukee open housing marches, a poem about an African-American couple who are refused a rental and the door is closed in their face. And I asked those students at Vincent High School in Milwaukee and Sherwood High School to think about doors literally and metaphorically, and where they saw them being open and where they saw them being closed. And those students wrote wonderful poems. So right from the start of my term as Poet Laureate, I had this sense of what I could do around the state. And so I did give workshops talking about doors and saw so many different perspectives, personal stories, stories that had some social impact, and I thought there's material here for a book. And so I talked about it with the Poet Laureate Commission. At that time, Ronnie Hess was the chair of the commission, and she said, you know, there's no book that has all of the Poets Laureate that Wisconsin has had since this program was initiated in 2000. It would be nice to have all of them in the book. So we contacted them and they contributed work. And at first, what we wanted to do was to have the book ready when there would be 50,000 people visiting Wisconsin, visiting Milwaukee for the Democratic National Convention. We wanted to show off the wealth of poetry that was in Wisconsin.
Sure. That was a natural progression there. And then it didn't happen.
There was such a terrible disappointment for lots of reasons. Maybe the least of them is that we didn't have the audience for the book immediately. But I felt that as well as everything else that was impacting our lives, the large and the small things that were changing our lives. And so we rethought the book, and we wanted the book to show Wisconsin the wealth of poetry that it has, to show the depth and the breadth of what's going on in poetry in Wisconsin, and to help build the Wisconsin that I think we need.
Angie, what did you think about the doors, the concept of doors, you know, the physical and the metaphorical as something that you could really sink into as a writer, as a poet?
Yeah, I think about access. And this isn't the first project that I have. I've worked on other projects with Peggy. And I understand you know, certain doors are open, certain doors are closed. I have poems that speak to that as well, not any that I'll read today, but it's something that I could really sink into. And the project just kept growing. And throughout, every time we would add a piece, I'm like, that fits. It became four sections. I started seeing that as we were going through this together. But, you know, we are living in the times that we are, and it's been quite a historical year. And I think we all kind of can see where we've been going, and hopefully we have a new path ahead. So for me, being a social justice poet who cares very much for all people, I think this is a gorgeous collection. And there's something in here for everyone, regardless of affiliation or belief system. This is a poem. There is a poem in here for every single person in the state.
We're talking with Angie Trudell Vasquez and Peggy Rosga. They're both editors of Through This Door, Wisconsin in Poems. It's a collection of poetry from poets from across across Wisconsin. 52, I think I counted, poets in all contributing to this work. You can join in. Do you enjoy poetry? What are you reading right now? 800-642-1234. You know, Peggy, as I was going through specifically the door section and really looking at how the poets handled doors, I'm wondering if we can start out by hearing your poem that starts out this book, Through This Door, and if you could read it for us.
Sure. Through this door, words follow one another, one picking up the scent of the one before, leaving a scent for the one that follows. They head for the sweets, cookie crumbs on the kitchen counter. They carry what may be more than their weight, carry it back to the hill, to the nest. A trail, then a flurry of words. Quick, quick, keep up.
Oh, I hear your birds, your sacred birds outside your window as I hear that piece. And it's reminds me of birds.
So, I think that it says a lot about the process of writing a poem that you need to get started. You need to put some words on paper. And it's something in the act of writing helps generate more thinking and more words until you get to the sweets, until you get to the poem.
I love that. And, you know, once you get to those crumbs, think about what you can carry away from them. You can create great works.
Yes, and I think that part of the poem helps to define what poetry is. It works on a literal level, but it also carries more than its weight. It begins to suggest things beyond the literal.
Yeah. Angie, I would imagine that it was really exciting for you to keep amassing all of these poems from, you know, your peers around the state and just seeing what they were bringing to you. That must have been really exciting.
It was. And I told Peggy early on, I wanted to wait for them to all come in so they could have a conversation together in my head.
Oh.
and she's like, that's spoken like a true editor. So, you know.
That is beautiful. Wisconsin Poet Laureate Peggy Rosga and Madison Poet Laureate Angie Trudell Vasquez co-edited this project. What kind of poems do you like to read? Have you turned to poetry in the pandemic? What poems help sustain you now? Join in on poetry, 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute for more conversation here on Wisconsin Weekend on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're appreciating a new anthology of poetry with contributions from dozens of Wisconsin poets. It's Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The new anthology is called Through This Door. It's a collection of 61 poems. How often do you share poems with others? Whom do you share with? Are there poems that speak to you in these trying times? Join in, share about poetry, how it moves you, 800-642-1234. Peggy Rosga is Wisconsin Poet Laureate. She launched this project and served as co-editor with Madison Poet Laureate Angie Trudell Vasquez, who also published the anthology, and they stay with us. Angie, I'm so excited for you to read this particular poem in the anthology, and you titled it What and That. And could you read it for us? Could you share it?
I would love to share it. There's music here, so if you want to close your eyes. What and That. What woman picked the corn, split the husk, and molded the seed that fed the people and opened the world? What being climbed down the tree, made the savanna a refuge? Who caught the strike that lit the bush that started the spark, that became the flame that lit the hearth and traveled village to village of smoldering smoke that started the fire, that cooked the kill, that fed the self to grow so big? What worker birthed the child, cut the cord, swaddled it, and kept on going down her row? What mother walked thousands of miles with two hands held in those smaller than her own? What father carried his child over mountaintops, swam through rivers, crossed deserts and lakes with one arm? What prisoner pierced the lock and walked out into the sunshine? What grandparent let her daughter sleep while the child rose, bathed its skin in rosewater and lavender, sang songs of ones and twos until it cooed back, ohs and ahs blowing bubbles? What woman picked the corn, split the husk, and spilled the seed that fed the people and opened our world?
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
You know, you hear that, the toil of women, the innocent children, and just, you know, walking thousands of miles for a better life. Mm-hmm. What, you know, when you think about our borders, that's where my mind goes when I hear this.
Yeah, this is coming from a fourth collection of writing on the history of us as humans. And I bring in current events and ancient things, and I'm thinking about how grandmothers in particular helped humanity go forward. Our evolution goes back to our grandmothers. And so there's so much I could say on that, but I love music and poetry and white space and poetry. And this is a poem I worked on really hard. But I have a huge love for people like myself who come from immigrants. I'm second and third generation Mexican-American. So I have a lot of empathy for people. And I think about doors open and doors closed in this piece. And, you know, there's a lot in here. I could say a lot more, but I want to keep on going with the show. But this is probably one of my most favorite poems of my own.
Peggy, what did you think when you read the poem?
When I read Angie's poem, I think of the history and the sacrifice of people that allowed us to come into existence. We have so much to be grateful for. And I think the best way to show that gratitude is to pay it forward, that we live in a way that provides a path for future generations so that they can write their poems.
There was a, I want to reintroduce you. Peggy Rosga and Angie Trudell Vasquez, both editors of Through This Door, Wisconsin in Poems. It's a beautiful anthology of poetry from Wisconsin poets from across the state. You can join in on poetry, 800-642-1234. There was this little poem that really caught my attention by Sarah Sarna called Other Doors. And I would just like to read it because something just stepped out of it for me. If I forget to breathe, I'm briefly inhabiting another room, another life. so fully engaged in mind that body is suspended. You see me here, but empty, as I explore possibilities no longer open to me. Listen for my next breath. It will tell you if I mourn this closed door or if I locked it. There's something there that was simple yet so profound and just so clear. There's clarity. What did you think of that poem, Angie?
I was thinking of the vulnerability in that poem and how hard it is to be vulnerable in a poem, but how that opens up the door, literally and figuratively, to other people to do the same, which I think is one of the beautiful things about poetry, is you're putting your heart out there more than you are probably your brain, and what space that creates for others.
Peggy,
I have to say a couple of words about Sarah Sarna. She is a poet that was in one of the workshops that I was doing, and she is also works at a health clinic. I don't think she is a doctor or nurse. I think she's in the administrative wing of the hospital, but she's an Oconomowoc poet. She thinks deeply. She likes to walk in the woods. Mm. And I think it has a meditative quality that is typical of her poetry.
Oh, thank you for filling in that picture. Appreciate it. Let's bring in Donnell in Milwaukee. Hi, Donnell. What can you share?
Well, I wanted to say good morning to both Peggy and Angie. Angie, I haven't seen you for a long time, but read your poetry and love it. Poetry and music have kept me sane through this pandemic. Since my husband passed away, I'm very alone, and the old woman in the mirror doesn't keep me much company. So I just wanted to share, I'm also a dear friend of mine I taught with for years, is a poet herself, Janet Leahy, and she keeps me very, very pleasantly occupied with some of her poetry. She recently wrote a poem for John Lewis during his funeral procession and things, and Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And I just wanted to share two stanzas from her poem about Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who is a hero for so many of us. And here goes. Did you see the mothers and daughters wearing lace collars? They came to honor you. Did you see the fearless girl sculpture wearing a lace collar to be just like you? They came to honor you. You wore that collar when you offered a descent. They wore a lace collar to be just like you. You were their mentor. And it goes on, but I won't take up that much time. But I think Wisconsin is very blessed to have these two poet laureates, and I'm blessed to know them.
Oh, Donnell, that was so beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. And thank you for calling in and being sustained by poetry and music in this time. Angie, what would you like to say?
Oh, Donnell, so good to hear your voice. I wish I could hug you. And I liked what she shared with us, the rhyming, the repetitive lace collars, the anaphora. Poetry helps us understand our place in the world too and make sense of things. And I see that in this poem she shared by Janet Leahy, who I've met too. So the poetry world is small. We seem to all know each other at this point.
Oh, I would imagine that you stay in contact with other poets as well who help keep you going. Peggy, what would you like to say?
Well, first of all, I want to express my sympathy for Donnell's loss of her husband. I know those are difficult times to live through. You go from being a we to being a me. You have to rethink a lot of things, and open doors and closed doors. And I'm glad that poetry is being helpful as you live through the challenges, both the personal and what's become global, this pandemic.
Angie, where do you write? Where do you go?
Oh, my goodness. I write many places. I'm in my study right now, and I write here. I write at my kitchen table. I write outside in the park while walking. I keep a pen and paper with me. But I really, before the pandemic, I loved writing in airplanes and in trains and in public transit, just watching people trying to suss out the world and observe. And so for me now, I write in the early morning and the late evening, and sometimes when my husband's watching sports.
The anthology, it's called Through This Door. We have Angie Trudell Vasquez and Peggy Rosga. Do you consider yourself a poet? How often do you express yourself through poetry? What about it that speaks to you? Have you sent a poem to a loved one or friend who's going through a difficult time now? Join in, 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up about poetry and listen to some more poems in this anthology after a news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. We're exploring a new anthology of Wisconsin poetry on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. 52 Wisconsin poets contributed to this effort, started with the theme of literal and metaphorical doors, doors opening, doors closing. It's called Through This Door, Wisconsin in Poems. Do you have a particular poem or poet you'd like others to know about? Who are they? How did you find them? Do you appreciate poetry? What does it do for you? Join in, 800-642-1234. Wisconsin Poet Laureate Peggy Rosga and Madison Poet Laureate Angie Trudell Vasquez, they co-edited this project and they stay with us. Let's bring in Oscar now, joining us in Madison. Hi, Oscar. And you contributed to this anthology as well.
Yeah, that's correct, Kate. And I was driving back from Milwaukee, driving my daughter to the airport, so I was excited to hear both Angie and Peg talk about the anthology. And, you know, poetry is a very individual thing, and during COVID, it's probably even more isolating. So I'm really glad, and it talks about the inspiration of Peg and Angela bringing us together as writers, even though it's virtually and now it's in print. So I wanted to give them a big shout out and thank them.
Well, since you're driving, I won't put you on the spot then to read Behind the Door, your poem.
That would be a little difficult.
Oh, Angie, go ahead. What would you like to say?
I just want to say hi, Oscar. Drive safe out there, and I'll be in touch with you. But it's wonderful to hear your voice. I've missed you.
Oscar, what were you trying to convey through your poem, Behind the Door?
Well, I think, you know, doors represent a lot of things. It's an opening. It's a barrier. It's an opportunity. And it's something that you don't know what to expect. So through my poetry, I was trying to convey those often conflicting kind of feelings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Peggy, did you feel that as well through Behind the Door?
Well, I think Oscar gives the door a added dimension that is not in any of the other poems, as he reflects on an incident from his childhood experience of his. Oscar, hello to you. I want to say that before I go on. We're really happy to have you be part of this book. And Oscar's poem is in a section in which a number of the poems reflect back on childhood experiences. And I think that's an important theme in Wisconsin poetry, and I'm glad that it's included here.
Hmm. Oscar, thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate it. And keep writing. Where may I ask you, where do you write your poetry?
Actually, I've been writing my poems on my phone. I try not to write too early in the morning on the phone because it creates a lot of light. And I also enjoy writing with a pen on a yellow pad. I think sometimes... Mm-hmm. it just makes it easier that when it comes out through your hands and through your fingers.
What are you writing about now?
Clearly, the pandemic and some of the social justice and economic situations. I work at Omega School, and we see a lot of students that are directly affected by the pandemic. We've had a number of students who have contracted COVID. So, you know, but despite all their challenges, I still see a lot of hope.
Oh, still see a lot of hope. Well, Oscar, thank you for being part of us, part of this conversation. We appreciate it. I want to ask you, Angie and Peggy, what it was like to co-edit an anthology of poetry, what that process is like. And Angie, you go first. How do you edit poetry?
I think what I said earlier, like when we were collecting poems, I was waiting till we got a bulk of them in so they could have a conversation in my head. Poetry, you know, poems go where they want to go. And I think poetry books do the same. You know, when you put a call out, the universe will send the poems that you need for that collection. Hmm. But how to put them together and how to put them in a way that makes sense. And I've been thinking about when we do readings, I was going to suggest to Peggy, and we work collaboratively, you know, this is Peggy's project and I'm here to support. But I was thinking the poems should be read in the order they are in the collection because it was kind of built that way. Mm-hmm. There's a climax. Yeah. So every edition's different. And I've collaborated with Peggy and a couple and Millie Kingbird on a Yellow Medicine Review. And it is a wonderful process. It's really creative. To be an editor is as creative, I think, almost as writing the poem. And I do believe that editing is the real writing. And I've shared that before. And I liked what Oscar said. And I, too, do everything in longhand. There's some kind of physical connection. So I think you feel poetry in the bones. You feel it in your body. You know, it's an oral thing. It's a physical thing. So, you know, it's a joy to do it. It's a lot of work. It's very intellectual, but it's also, you have to involve your heart in it as well. Mm. And the poem will be in the order that they should be at the end. And Peggy and I had a really good time moving things around. I enjoyed the process.
Peggy, what was it like for you to edit this collection?
It was eye-opening. It was, I was often feeling awe at the quality of the work that we were getting. A particular part of the editing process came for me when we had a substantial number of poems, but we felt like there were some gaps. And it happened that a couple of times I saw a Facebook friend post something that was almost a poem that spoke to something that we hadn't had a contribution along those lines to that point. And so I would contact the person and say, we think this is a poem or almost a poem. Could we keep it in the book? And sometimes we would suggest ways to enhance the presentation, some inclusion of poetic strategies, techniques, paying attention to the sound or taking out some things that don't fit. And a couple of examples, the people were like, oh, you made what I said better, or so that was very gratifying, and it helped us to give a sense of the Wisconsin that we have in a complete, more complete way. I'm thinking particularly of Tracy Spurko's piece that she wrote about working during the Wisconsin primary at one of the five voting places in Milwaukee. And she gives this immediate sense of the commitment that people have to get their vote in, as well as the confusion because of the crowds and the fear of catching the COVID-19. And I think that it was a real important addition to the book.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because that too was one that I really paused on. It's called Wisconsin Primary 4/7/2020. I'm just going to pause here and reintroduce you, Peggy Rosga and Angie Trudell Vasquez, both editors of Through This Door, Wisconsin in Poems, this new anthology of poetry by Wisconsin poets from all over the state. Your contributions on poetry as well, you can join in 800-642-1234. Peggy, would you mind reading Wisconsin Primary? I think we should read it.
I'd love to. Wisconsin Primary 4/7/2020. Crammed tight with workers on one another, and then the thousands of voters. I never again want to say, stay on your X's and leave space, a tiger's length between you. Move, keep it moving, people. It's raining, let folks in. It's cold, let folks in. That old lady looks like she's going to pass out. That man's knees are buckling. Get me a chair. I need help. A worker started playing music, trying to keep everyone's spirits up. We danced the voters in for 4 hours. When the rain and hail came on the thousand voters, reports are that not one left the line. Some guys passed out garbage bags. People were shivering, but they stayed, determined, angry that this was happening. Masks, well, they were homemade, N95, surgical, shirts, winter scarves, gas masks, scuba bandanas, shirts, hoods, gloves, and garbage bags. Fear to none in their eyes. Laughter to anger.
Thank you so much for that. I didn't know that Tracy Spirko had worked the polls that day, and that this poem came from that.
Yeah, she gave a beautiful account on her Facebook posting, and I knew we had to have it in this book, and so I'm very grateful to her. Actually, one other thing is that if you read through the bios, the biography statements of the people who contributed, that too becomes a kind of a poem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin Poet Laureate Peggy Rosga and Madison Poet Laureate Angie Trudell Vasquez co-edited the anthology Through the Door. What poems are you reading now? Have you started writing poetry in the pandemic? What themes do you work around? What can you share with us? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're appreciating poetry, and a new anthology called Through This Door, dozens of Wisconsin poets contributed. It's edited by Madison Poet Laureate Angie Trudell Vasquez and Wisconsin Poet Laureate Peggy Rosga, and they stay with us. Peggy, this anthology is also a fundraiser for the Wisconsin Poet Laureate Commission. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes, I think that because the Wisconsin Poet Laureate Commission has Wisconsin in the title, that sometimes people think it's supported by the state. And for the first 10 years of the program, there was a state stipend that came, but that was discontinued in 2011. So a number of arts and literary organizations around the state decided to continue the program, and they contribute to it. But in order to provide the new poet laureates to come some funds to work with, we wanted to help.
Yeah.
And so we thought of doing the anthology for that purpose, as well as for the purposes of celebrating Wisconsin poetry.
I love it. Let's bring in Jim in Oconomowoc. Hi, Jim.
Good morning. I was very impressed with this. I play around with poetry in my old age, but I thought of the word portal as they were talking, as a entrance, a doorway, and then how it leads to portent, and how we can sometimes associate that with fear and danger. And the whole concept of the door is just beautiful, and I thank you very much for this program.
Oh, Jim, thank you so much for calling in. Jim, you know, seeing this portal, this entrance, Angie.
Yes, amazing. And I really liked what he said. And thank you, Jim, for calling in. Portal, portent, fear, and I think opportunity, too, when you open a door. You never know. So that's making me think of another poem that I would read later.
Angie, and because we're close on time here, could you share a final poem for us?
I will. I'm going to read this poem by Vita Cross. It's called Two Doors. One, between two doors. Between two doors, the slave woman carried food from cook shack to main house. There was hunger from not eating, from saying goodbye to that which you had created. Oh, how it was prized and paraded between two doors. Two lines. I dreamt I was in a soul train line on the left. All the black people from my college, alumni rocked back and forth, wearing suits and dresses. No one would dance down the middle. Too good to do the Lindy Hop. The lines wouldn't move. They were a simple sway, rocking back and forth in place. Three, a rectangle. Draw two lines that are horizontal. Connect two lines that are vertical on each end. Trap something in the middle. That's Vita Cross, a Cave Canem fellow, and a person who's published more than one poem. Poetry books. Just, I really like that piece.
Trap something in the middle. You know, that there's something there. And what I'm hearing through so many of these poems is rhythm and movement. And that's what really carries me, I think, through this book of poems. You mentioned, Angie, that the sections lead up to something. And I was wondering the last few moments, what is it that they're leading to?
Well, this last poem in the collection, an untitled piece by Ellen Court, that piece at the very end is kind of like really sums it all. What the last two lines or three lines are, breathe in laughter and peace, knowing that what you do for yourself can change the world. And it makes me kind of quiver because it's so important to me that poetry changes the world for better. So I think the whole book culminates in that last untitled poem by Ellen Court, who I believe was the first Wisconsin Poet Laureate.
Oh, I love that. Breathe in laughter and peace. Well, we're out of time. Thank you both for joining us. This was really wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Peggy Rosga is Wisconsin Poet Laureate, and Angie Trudell-Vasquez is Madison Poet Laureate. They co-edited the contributions of 50 Wisconsin poets. The book is called Through This Door, Wisconsin in Poems. And now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Carl Christensen with a story about longing for home.
Moving away from Wisconsin can be an exciting adventure for some people. For others, it can be a tough and lonely journey. Writer and Wisconsin native June Melby reflects on the time she moved out west and how a vintage jacket helped her feel a little less homesick.
I'd been living in Los Angeles for a couple of years, but it still didn't feel like home. People were different from what I'm used to back in the Midwest. People bragged about themselves, openly, which came as a shock. Women dressed like teenage boys. Men groomed their hair with more products than I'd ever owned. and everyone checked their reflections in store windows as they walked past. I was lonely, and I was homesick. Then a gift arrived from my mother, a blue corduroy FFA jacket. Future Farmers of America, said the emblem, with Waupaca, Wisconsin in gold, embroidered letters on the back. Retro clothing was all the rage in Hollywood, so even though I had actually never been a member of Future Farmers, I wanted that jacket. Zip front, pockets, and a collar designed back in the 1930s and never updated. Perfect for a night out in California when the desert air begins to chill. And that's when I noticed. People recognized that jacket. Well, not all people, but certain people. Namely, anyone who was from the Midwest, or grew up in a small town, or came from Wisconsin. They'd find me at coffee houses and comedy clubs. Are you from Wisconsin? Yep, me too. At parties and theater lobbies, were you an FFA? No, but my father was a farmer. My dad was too. My mom must have heard me say I wanted one, so she put an ad in the local paper and got two replies. A guy drove out from town to give the jacket to my mom. He wouldn't even take any money, she said. I offered, but he was tickled that someone even wanted it. But it's the Midwest, and my mother didn't believe you should take anything for free. We owned a miniature golf course, and she traded the jacket for 10 free game cards. He was thrilled, she said. Every time I wore the blue FFA jacket, I'd meet someone from the Midwest. They'd suddenly appear out of the crowd, and we would talk about how odd it felt to be in Los Angeles. Isn't it funny they call this winter? I know, it's 55 degrees. My landlord's wearing a parka. At Walgreens near me, sprayed their windows white to make it look like snow. We'd roll our eyes and laugh, oh no, and shake our heads. Total strangers instantly close, like long-lost, distant cousins talking about our hometowns. What we shared was the secret of the blue corduroy jacket, but there was something else we shared, the knowledge of what we had each left behind, what we had given up to pursue our dreams. At a certain point, we'd look at each other and sigh, well, yes, I guess I'd better go. Then we'd wish each other good luck on the next audition, meeting, or attempt at landing a better day job. I hope you make it, I would say in a whisper. You too, they would whisper back. Then they melted back into the crowd and into the warm winter night.
June Melby is a writer and performer who lives just across the border in Iowa. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of WPR and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Carl Christensen.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's Wisconsin Weekend. I just want to take a moment to say I hope you join 1A's host Jen White and me for a lunchtime conversation on Thursday at noon. Grab your lunch, log in. We'll get to hear from Jen about covering the election at the helm of a national talk show. You can go to wpr.org/presents to RSVP. You are listening to the Ideas Network.